Welcome. My name is Hugo Vargas. I'm professor of medicine at the Mayo Clinic in Arizona, and I'm the medical director of the Office of Clinical Research at my institution. This is an IAS USA module on the treatment of hepatitis C genotype 1 infection after initial treatment failure in 2016. For this conference, I want to focus on the following issues. I want to discuss viral genotype 1A treatment after PEG interferon ribavirin failure in patients who are non-cirrhotic and who have compensated cirrhosis, and also the same patient populations for patients infected with viral genotype 1B who have failed therapy with pegylated interferon and ribavirin failure. I also would like to discuss the approaches to patients who have been treated with sofosbuvir and ribavirin in the past and have failed therapy, both cirrhotic and non-cirrhotic. And last but not least, those patients who have been exposed to an NS3 inhibitor with and without PEG interferon ribavirin, and both have cirrhosis or non-cirrhosis state. Before we delve into the different treatment regimens, let's discuss who constitutes a treatment candidate in this patient population. Let's first focus on the worldwide burden of disease due to hepatitis C. It is notable that this burden is increasing over time. The World Health Organization estimates that 130 to 170 million people, that is 3% of the world's population, is infected with hepatitis C and at risk of both cirrhosis and hepatocellular carcinoma. We can detect anywhere from 3 to 4 million new infections every year. And unfortunately, hepatitis C is responsible for 50 to 75% of all hepatocellular carcinomas and 50 to 60% of all liver transplants in the developed world. Hepatitis C-associated cirrhosis leads to liver failure and death in about 20 to 25% of cirrhotic patients. The next slide illustrates the worldwide distribution of the virus in a graphical fashion. Each circle illustrates the burden of disease in each region illustrated, and the color coding indicates the viral genotype that infects those patients in those regions. Please note that as the United States does have a significant burden of disease, it is not quite as large as which we see in North Africa, in the Indian subcontinent, and in the Far East. But do note that patients from those regions may have been infected with different viral genotypes, and we need to understand the nature of their infection before treatment can be entertained. The next slide illustrates a very important concept, and that is the linkage of screening to actual care. As this slide illustrates, we know the population of patients in the United States who have hepatitis C is in the area of 3 to 4 million people. Unfortunately, only half of those patients have actually been diagnosed and confirmed, and an even smaller number of patients is actually eventually referred to care. Thus, the treatment with its inherent failings has led to a very small percentage of patients from the population at large infected with the disease that have actually been successfully treated. We must do better in achieving the linkage of our screening efforts to actual care that delivers cure of disease. With that in mind, who should be treated in this day and age? I want to outline overriding principles in my recommendations. The first one is that hepatitis C infection is a curable disease. Thus, all patients who are infected with hepatitis C should be considered for treatment. Of course, there are patients who benefit from immediate treatment and they deserve the highest attention. That constitutes the population of patients with cirrhosis, recipients of liver transplantation who remain hepatitis C positive, HIV and Hep C co-infected patients, and patients with extrahepatic manifestations of hepatitis C, such as cryoglobulinemia, B-cell lymphoma, porphyria cutanea tarda, to name a few. Consideration should also be given to those who have hepatitis C and in whose clearance may lead to population rate improvements. Consideration should be given to patients who are current prison inmates, patients who are infected with HIV and are having unprotected sex with other men, as we have seen a very significant increase in the incidence of hepatitis C in that patient population. Also consider clinicians who are high risk of transmitting their disease to their patients, particularly patients who are active in the operating room. And IV drug abuse patients should be considered for treatment, as controlling infection in that patient population will decrease the very high incidence in that particular group. With that said, there are patients who should not receive treatment, specifically those who have life-threatening illness with expectancies of less than 12 months and in whom treatment with hepatitis C regimens would not improve their expected survival. Let us now shift our attention to regimen basics. Let's begin with the regimen of ledipizavir and sofosbuvir. Ledipizavir, sofosbuvir was approved in the United States in 2014 for the treatment of hepatitis C viral genotype 1 disease. Ledipizavir is an NS5A complex inhibitor. Sofosbuvir is an NS5B nucleoside inhibitor. This agent is available as a fixed dose combination as a single pill dosed at 90 milligrams of ledipizavir, 400 milligrams of sofosbuvir. Pivotal registration trials for this discussion include ION 1, 2, and 3 studies. Special considerations when treating patients with ledipizavir and sofosbuvir have to be: patients who have a GFR less than 30 should not be treated with this regimen until clarification of the dose adjustments is made available. Co-administration with amiodarone can cause life-threatening bradycardias, and thus patients who need amiodarone should not be treated with this combination of agents. The avoidance of proton pump inhibitors as ledipizavir absorption is decreased in this setting has to be outlined, but the regimen has excellent profile in patients with compensated cirrhosis. For the purposes of this conference, it is important to note that patients who were treatment experienced, cirrhotics included, were treated in the pivotal trial ION2 for 12 or 24 weeks, including ribavirin. The next slide illustrates how the study was actually designed. Patients with genotype 1 disease who had failed prior interferon-based therapy, including regimens containing an NS5-3/4A protease inhibitor, were allowed to participate. There was broad inclusion criteria, and 440 patients were randomized in even distribution along the four different treatment arms. Patients were stratified by hepatitis C genotype 1A or 1B cirrhosis and prior treatment response. The next slide illustrates the actual high-level results. As you can see, patients treated for 24 weeks, whether with or without ribavirin, achieved 99% response rates. Those patients treated for 12 weeks, slightly lower numerical results of 94 to 96 with and without ribavirin. When we look at the patients as they responded with respect to the presence of cirrhosis, one can see that despite the small numbers, those patients with cirrhosis did significantly worse on 12-week duration of therapy, whereas 24 weeks, regardless of ribavirin use, led to very good response rates. The next slide illustrates the impact of prior exposure to pegribavirin and pegribavirin plus a protease inhibitor. As we can see here, those patients who received ledipizavir and sofosbuvir for 12 weeks without ribavirin tended overall to do less well than the remainder of the groups that received ledipizavir sofosbuvir for 12 weeks plus ribavirin or ledipizavir sofosbuvir for 24 weeks plus or minus ribavirin. Thus, the conclusions across the phase 3 sofosbuvir-ledipizavir studies in this patient population that is treatment experience draws the following conclusions. The regimen is very effective. 12 weeks is adequate for non-cirrhotic patients, but 24 weeks is preferable for the cirrhotic patient, in which case ribavirin is of no benefit. Not illustrated in the slide, but of importance, is the fact that a post-clinical trial analysis of the data compiled over all the pre-registration trials demonstrates that while 24 weeks of ledipizavir and sofosbuvir is effective in cirrhotic patients, a 12-week regimen of ledipizavir and sofosbuvir plus ribavirin is nearly as good as the 24-week regimen and thus may be a strategy to decrease the cost of care for these patients and the duration of treatment. And that will be pivotal when we discuss how to treat patients in this patient population. Let us now focus on cimeprevir and sofosbuvir. Cimeprevir and sofosbuvir are a regimen that was used as a means of getting to interferon-free regimen for patients with viral genotype 1 prior to getting FDA approval. These drugs were approved separately for different indications. Cimeprevir is a second wave, first generation NS3-4A protease inhibitor. Sofosbuvir is a nucleotide polymerase inhibitor. The combination was tested as proof of concept interferon-free regimen in the pivotal phase 2 COSMOS study. Treatment outside clinical trials, as demonstrated by the data presented by the HCV target group, has shown this to be very effective outside of clinical trials. The next slide outlines a pooled plus or minus ribavirin sets from the COSMOS trial. As you can see here, response rates were above 90% regardless of the fibrosis level and the treatment status. With that information, the FDA approved the combination in November 2014 based on the results of the study. Despite the fact that ribavirin did not seem to improve SVR12, patients were given approval by the FDA to be treated for 12 weeks without ribavirin if they were non-cirrhotic. For those patients who were treatment naive or experienced and cirrhotic, a recommendation for 24 weeks was given with this suggestion that ribavirin could be used. To further elucidate how to use this regimen, phase 3 studies that were recently published will be discussed in the next few slides. The high-level results of the so-called Optimist 1 study looking at cimeprevir and sofosbuvir in genotype non-cirrhotic patients is here represented. On the right-hand side of the slide, you can see the results for treatment-experienced patients. Overall, 12 weeks of therapy yielded 95% response rates. The results were equally good whether the Q80K polymorphism was present in patients with viral genotype 1A. Unfortunately, the Optimist 2 trial, in which cimeprevir and sofosbuvir was used for 12 weeks in cirrhotic patients, yielded a very low 79% response rate with 12 weeks of therapy in patients who were treatment experienced and cirrhotic. In the next slide, as I alluded to, is a real-world presentation of treatment results as reported by the HCV target group. As you can see in the right hand, those patients who are treatment experienced can be expected to respond at a rate of approximately 85%, regardless of whether ribavirin is used or not used. So therefore, if one is to consider using cimeprevir and sofosbuvir, screening for the Q80K polymorphism is important, particularly in retreatment patients, and particularly so if they are cirrhotic. This is specifically focused on patients with viral genotype 1A. No doses adjustment is necessary for patients who have mild, moderate, or severe renal impairment, and careful attention should be paid to drug-drug interactions as inhibitors or inducers or CYP3A4 may significantly affect the plasma concentrations of cimeprevir. Again, keep in mind that if there's going to be use of amiodarone, this regimen should not be considered. Let us now pay attention to elbasvir and grasoprevir. Elbasvir is a second-generation NS5A complex inhibitor. Grasoprevir is a second-generation NS3/4A protease inhibitor. As with all PI inhibitors, drug-drug interactions should be closely scrutinized and the package insert should be closely followed. The use of this regimen should be considered in genotype 1A patients after reviewing for the presence of NS5A-specific RAVs. Resistance-associated variant testing at the population level, detecting mutations that are present in greater than 10 to 25% of the quasi-species, is felt to be adequate at this time. RAV testing is generally limited to patients with genotype 1. NS5A mutations that are impactful to elbasvir are listed in the slide and should be paid attention to should you choose to use this regimen. The next slide illustrates a very important study published in the Journal of Hepatology in 2015, the so-called Sea Salvage study, in which specifically the combination of grasoprevir, elbasvir, and ribavirin for 12 weeks was looked at as a means of salvaging patients who had failed therapy with protease inhibitors in the past. As you can see here, across all different characteristics of treatment prior to this regimen, the vast majority of patients were very likely to respond to treatment with this regimen. These groups included patients treated with boceprevir, telaprevir, and cimeprevir, patients who had on-treatment viral breakthrough, relapsers, and patients who were intolerant of therapy with other regimens. And regardless of the amount of time elapsed since failure of therapy, the response was actually quite good. There is a decline in effectiveness if NS3 RAVs were present, but the results are still quite successful despite this characteristic. Viral genotype subtype, cirrhosis, and viral load levels had little impact on the results of the treatment. Data has begun to appear regarding the treatment experienced population treated with grasoprevir, elbasvir, and ribavirin, the so-called CEDGE-TE study, in which patients were exposed to grasoprevir, elbasvir with and without ribavirin for 12 or 16 weeks. The sustained virological response at 12 weeks ranged from 92 to 94 weeks in those patients treated for a full 12 weeks to 92 to 97 when treatment lasted 16 weeks. In this patient population, it is extremely important to recognize that the presence of NS5A RAVs reduced the efficacy of the treatment significantly, with SVRs closer to 50% if very high impact RAVs were identified prior to therapy. Composite data from patients with cirrhosis with different characteristics prior to therapy were presented at the AASLD this last year that help us to identify how to manage patients with cirrhosis with elbasvir and garsoprevir. The following slide presents that information. In patients who had cirrhosis and were treatment experienced, the regimen using ribavirin yielded sustained virological responses between 91% for those treated for 12 weeks with ribavirin to 100% for those patients treated for 16 to 18 weeks with ribavirin. Let's focus now on the so-called 3D regimen that includes peritaprevir, ombitasvir, dasabuvir, and ribavirin. Remember that the peritaprevir is boosted with ritonavir in this particular combination. The NS3-4A protease inhibitor peritaprevir requires ritonavir to reach a reasonable dosing level. Ombitasvir, which is an NS5A complex blocker, is included in this FDC preparation that is accompanied by dasabuvir, a non-NUC inhibitor that's administered twice daily in combination with the above medications. Ribavirin is administered in viral genotype 1A, not in most cases with genotype 1B. For our particular discussion, we will touch on Sapphire 2 studies and Turquoise 2 studies, which looked at treatment-experienced adults and patients with cirrhosis who were treated in this regimen prior to registration of this drug for FDA approval. The high-level results of the Sapphire 2 study are illustrated below. You can see patients who were viral genotype 1A and prior treatment experience responded at a rate of 96%, which shows not only non-inferiority, but actual superiority to historical controls. For genotype 1B, the response rate was 96.7%, for a total all-comers of 96.3%. Now looking at specific responses, you can see that prior partial response and relapsers responded at a rate between 95 and 100%, and prior non-responders responded at a rate of 95%. The Turquoise 2 study looked at patients who had genotype 1 infection and cirrhosis. They were treated for either 12 weeks or 24 weeks with ribavirin. As the next slide illustrates, you can see that patients with genotype 1A treated for 24 weeks responded at a very nice 94% rate, but the response was lower if the patients were treated for only 12 weeks. Genotype 1B patients responded equally well with 12 or 24 weeks and ribavirin. Looking specifically at genotype 1A patients who have been prior non-responders in Turquoise 2, you can see that patients who had prior null response were those that were the most likely to fail therapy if treated for only 12 weeks, whereas 24-week treatment was an acceptable 93% response rate. The overall conclusions of the Phase 3 program of the 3D regimen, particularly with focus on patients who were treatment experienced, is that if the patients were infected with viral genotype 1B, they could be treated very effectively for 12 weeks with ribavirin. Patients infected with genotype 1A who had been prior non-responders should receive 24 weeks of therapy with ribavirin. Let us now focus on agents that contain dacarbazine. Dacarbazine is a potent pangenotypic NS5A complex blocker. It has been shown to work well with sofosbuvir-based regimens, and it's licensed outside of the United States with PI-based regimens for genotype 1B disease. Two pivotal studies will be reviewed in order to highlight the use of dacarbazine in this patient population. The first one's Ally 1, in which patients with cirrhosis or post-transplant hepatitis C infection were treated with this combination in addition to ribavirin. This was an open-label phase trial that enrolled patients with cirrhosis, and 60 of them, and post-liver transplantation. The treatment was dacarbazine at 60 milligrams daily and sofosbuvir at 400 milligrams daily, plus ribavirin. The ribavirin dose was started low and adjusted according to the response of the hemoglobin. Individuals who relapsed following 12 weeks of therapy were offered the same treatment for 24 weeks. The Ally 1 study enrolled a significant number of patients with cirrhosis who had been treatment experienced in the past, and the response rate was a very acceptable 83%, as you can see in the slide. Ally 2 was a sofosbuvir, dacladasvir regimen used in patients who were HIV, hepatitis C co-infected, or mono-infected patients, both treatment-naive and treatment-experienced. Obviously, we will focus on the treatment experience group for this particular discussion. And as you can see in the slide, a total of 52 patients were treated with dacladasvir and sofosbuvir for a total of 12 weeks in this patient population. Most likely, patients were already cirrhotic in that patient population, 29% of the total cohort. Patients who were HIV positive were treated with ART. Before we progress any further, the reason that I am using this study in this discussion is that we have found over time using direct antiviral agents that the response rate in patients co-infected with HIV does not differ in any way from those patients who have hepatitis C without co-infection. As you can see here in the next slide, patients who were genotype 1 positive and were treated with dacladasvir and sofosbuvir for 12 weeks responded at a rate of 97%. This gives great comfort to the recommendation that dacladasvir and sofosbuvir can be a very reasonable regimen to use in this patient population. Let us now focus on recommended regimens. Before we get started, I want to clarify that patients that have a star by them represent alternatives. This may be still the best options in some patient populations. Thus, let's review genotype 1A interferon ribavirin failures that are non-cirrhotic. The regimens available are as follows. Elbasvir and garzoprevir daily for 12 weeks. The caveat is that if patients exhibit NS5A RAVs of significance, and this requires testing prior to treatment, that patients should be given 16 weeks of therapy as an alternative. Ledipasvir, sofosbuvir daily for 12 weeks is another option, or paratepervir, ritonavir boosted, with umvidasvir, dasabuvir, and ribavirin for 12 weeks, or simeprevir, sofosbuvir daily for 12 weeks after obtaining NS3/4A RAV testing, and dacladasvir, sofosbuvir daily for 12 weeks with the understanding that the less data is driving this regimen. If the patients have compensated cirrhosis, the considerations for treatment are as follows. Elbasvir, garzoprevir daily for 12 weeks. Again, this is assuming that the patient does not have an NS5A RAV that would render them high risk for non-response, in which case 16 weeks of therapy are recommended. Ledipasvir, sofosbuvir daily for 12 weeks. Remember, this is a cirrhotic population. But we can also add that if ribavirin is considered as a potential to complement ledipasvir and sofosbuvir, the treatment duration may be decreased to 12 weeks. The other option is paratepervir, ritonavir boosted, umbitasvir, dasabuvir, and ribavirin for 24 weeks. And again, patients need to be monitored very closely as patients with decompensated cirrhosis can quickly decompensate, and even those patients with compensated cirrhosis need to be closely monitored. The other option is simeprevir and sofosbuvir daily for 24 weeks. The possibility of using ribavirin needs to be weighed very carefully in the decision-making process. And it would be important to ensure that NS3/4A protease inhibitor RAVs are not found. Dacladasvir, sofosbuvir plus or minus ribavirin for 24 weeks is also recommended in this patient population, although less data drives this recommendation. Now, what to do in patients who are non-cirrhotics and have genotype 1B infection? The considerations are as follows. Elbasvir, garzoprevir daily for 12 weeks. Ledipasvir, sofosbuvir daily for 12 weeks. Paratepervir, again, ritonavir boosted, with umbitasvir, dasabuvir, plus ribavirin for 12 weeks. Simeprevir, sofosbuvir daily for 12 weeks, or in a less proven regimen of dacladasvir, sofosbuvir for 12 weeks. If the patient has cirrhosis and the patient is well compensated, one could entertain the use of elbasvir, garzoprevir for 12 weeks, ledipasvir, sofosbuvir daily for 24 weeks, or alternatively 12 weeks if one adds ribavirin to that regimen, paratepervir, umbitasvir, dasabuvir, for 12 weeks, no ribavirin is needed, But again, monitoring patients with cirrhosis is very strongly recommended. Cimeprevir, sofosbuvir, plus or minus ribavirin daily for 24 weeks after obtaining NS3 4A RAB testing, or dacladaspir, sofosbuvir, plus or minus ribavirin daily for 24 weeks. Again, recognizing that smaller amounts of data are driving this recommendation. Let us now look at patients who are genotype 1 and have failed a sofosbuvir-based regimen with ribavirin. The regimens recommended in non-cirrhotic patients are lidipasvir, sofosbuvir, and ribavirin daily for 12 weeks. In patients who had compensated cirrhosis, lidipasvir, sofosbuvir, plus ribavirin for 24 weeks. Alternatively, dacladaspir, sofosbuvir, plus ribavirin daily for 24 weeks. Genotype 1 NS3 PI PEG ribavirin failure, non-cirrhotic. The regimens to be considered are lidipasvir, sofosbuvir daily for 12 weeks, elbasvir, grasoprevir daily for 12 weeks. If genotype 1A, it would be worthwhile to check for elbasvir RAVs and extend duration to 16 weeks if they are found, or alternatively, dacladaspir, sofosbuvir daily for 12 weeks. In patients with genotype 1 who have failed a PI-based regimen with PEG and ribavirin and have compensated cirrhosis, one can use lidipasvir, sofosbuvir plus ribavirin daily for 12 weeks, lidipasvir, sofosbuvir for 24 weeks, or elbasvir, grasoprevir plus or minus ribavirin for 12 weeks. And that duration may be extended should the patient have a genotype 1A virus with NS5A RAVs that may render elbasvir less optimal. Additionally, dacladaspir, sofosbuvir, plus or minus ribavirin daily for 24 weeks could be considered, although less data drives this particular regimen. Patients who have failed lidipasvir-sofosbuvir regimens with genotype 1 and need urgent therapy should be considered for treatment with lidipasvir-sofosbuvir plus ribavirin daily for 24 weeks. Ribavirin is strongly recommended. NS5A variant analysis prior to starting therapy is also recommended to ensure that future regimens may be better crafted. Cimeprevir-sofosbuvir plus or minus ribavirin for 12 weeks is another option in this patient population, especially if they've never seen a protease inhibitor. In the same group who now have cirrhosis, the combination of lidipasvir-sofosbuvir plus ribavirin daily for 24 weeks should be considered. And again, NS5A variant analysis is recommended at this juncture. Cimeprevir-sofosbuvir plus or minus ribavirin for 24 weeks is an alternative, particularly if treatment is urgent, but do offer RAV analysis prior to treatment to avoid any treatment futility. For those patients who are genotype 1 and have failed cimeprevir and sofosbuvir, consideration should be given to the value of treatment at this point versus waiting for new regimens to become available. If urgent therapy, we may want to look at the possibility of using NS3, NS5A variants and consider the value of tailoring regimens that have likelihood of success. Again, as with the prior recommendations, it is very important to follow the latest guidelines that are offered by the AASLD IDSA Society panel that maintain as up-to-date a recommendation regimen as possible. In summary, genotype 1 is the most common viral type in the United States. Hepatitis C virus is a curable disease. Careful documentation of prior failure will facilitate rescue therapies. Access to treatment remains a significant challenge, and knowledge of the regimens and expected results facilitates high rates of response to treatment. Thank you very much for your attendance.